And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's radio drama, If Not Higher, written by Norman Rostin, is based on the famous short story of the same name by Isaac Loeb Peretz.
Once upon a time in the village of Nemiroth, there lived a rabbi, a righteous man, a wise man. He was well versed in the books of devotion, and yet he did not, like some men, set learning above all else. But we're ahead of our story. It is a simple story, and we will begin at the beginning. It is the evening before Friday at Tzlichos time, which is the week of penitential prayers before the new year, and the rabbi is leaving the house of study with his friends, humming a little tune.
The rabbi is at peace with the world tonight.
A fine evening, a fine world. Do you think it will rain tomorrow, David?
You are the wise man, Rabbi. Why do you ask me?
In such things as the weather, no man is wise. What say you, Abram? Rain or no?
No.
Good.
I'm no authority, mind you, Rabbi.
It will not rain. Enough.
Shall we see what early morning service, then?
Tomorrow is Friday, is it not?
Friday, yes.
I will not be at the early morning services.
At the house of study, then?
No.
Then the rabbi will be at home, eh?
Not at home, either.
Oh,
And so, good evening to you, friends. I must leave.
Good evening, Rabbi.
Good evening and good health.
And so it was that every Friday morning early at Tzlichos time, the rabbi of Nemiroth disappeared, melted into thin air. He was not to be found anywhere, either in the synagogue or in the two houses of study, and most certainly not at home. His door on this particular morning stood open. People went in and out as they pleased. No one ever stole anything from the rabbi. And there was not a soul in the house. And every year, Friday morning early at Tzlichos time, there was the same speculation.
So, again he is gone. Vanished.
Where can the rabbi be, Grandpa?
Is it likely, do you think, that a rabbi should have no affairs on hand with the solemn day so near? Where can the rabbi be? Where should he be, if not in heaven?
And so they believed it, and it troubled them no further. Jews need a livelihood, peace, health. But Satan, with his thousand eyes, spies out the world from one end to the other, and he sees and accuses and tells tales. And who shall help if not the rabbi? So thought the people each year on the Friday morning at Tzlichos time, and all was well. Once, however, there came to the village a Lithuanian, a learned Talmudist, and he dared to laugh.
In heaven, huh? Oh, forgive me, the rabbi in heaven. Oh, I split from laughing in all my life.
Are you finished, Lithuanian?
Finished. Finished.
You are acquainted with our rabbi?
I've not had that pleasure. I'm passing through your village.
Then pass through quickly or hold your tongue.
Why? Is it not a custom to laugh in your village?
Not against our rabbi.
Well, who laughs against your rabbi? I laugh against the general idea you will forgive me a man, holy though he may be, going to heaven one morning and returning by noon.
Is that impossible?
Definitely.
How do you know it's impossible?
Well, have any of you ever seen the rabbi either going or coming from that celestial place? Has he ever himself, righteous man though he is, I do not doubt, ever spoken of such a visit?
He would not speak of it. He's a modest man.
Definitely impossible.
But before the holy days, a miracle perhaps.
Definitely no.
You are a bore.
You tell me this. You stuff yourself with learning, but when it comes to a thing as simple as this...
No. It is simple to walk into heaven just as one pleases. I beg you to show me how, good friend. Go to heaven and bring me back some divine evidence, if you please. Do that, if you please, and I will believe you.
Prove otherwise.
Perhaps.
Prove otherwise or hold your tongue.
Ah, the devil with you. Here we're living at peace, and you come in with your if you please. Prove the rabbi cannot visit heaven. And by the book, if you please.
And who else but such a man as this, the good Lord bless him, would go through the books? And who else would come up with proof, even as it was asked of him? Who else but this Lithuanian passing through the village of Nemirov?
And so I pointed out to you, right here in the Gomorrah, the holy Talmud of our wise ancestors, plainly written, even Moses, our teacher, could not ascend into heaven, but remained suspended 30 inches below it. So you have it. The incident is closed.
And what becomes of the rabbi?
I don't know, and I don't care. The incident is closed.
I ask you, who's going to argue with such a scholar? He may be a good Jew, a good husband and father, a man of faith and of learning. Yet you see by his high-handed manner that he is a man apart. So thought the cronies of the rabbi, and yet he had disturbed them. He had quoted from the Gemara. It was plain enough.
Soon he will leave the village. We'll have peace again.
Of all the villages, he had to come to Nemra.
Is it true, though, what he spoke?
Plague upon his mouth.
Is it true? Our rabbi does not go to heaven at Slichostad?
He goes, lad. He goes. He must go. Where else could he be? He is not upon earth. Where else could he be?
Can we not ask the rabbi himself?
No, we ask the rabbi nothing.
Perhaps, Abram, perhaps it would do no harm.
Do we think so little of our rabbi that we question him?
You surprise me, David.
I was only thinking...
To ask the rabbi such a thing to his face?
Never. The man who would do that, the Lord would strike dead.
And may I ask you, Rabbi, to your face, if you will forgive me, where you are on Friday early before Slichos time?
And why must you know, huh?
Curiosity.
Where I am, huh? I am about. I am at work.
But exactly where?
I have always admired you Lithuanian scholars. You know the Talmud only too well.
I'm glad you think so. I'm honored, Rabbi. Now, in the Gemara, it states that even Moses, our father, could not ascend into heaven, but remained suspended 30 inches below. Correct?
Correct.
So?
So? What?
The moral is clear, is it not?
How do you mean?
Men should not go around imagining themselves visiting heaven.
And men should not go around imagining themselves the keepers of the souls of others. The moral is clear, is it not?
Yeah. So, it is late. I merely stopped in to acquaint myself with you, Rabbi. You are... well-loved here.
I try to live by the ways of God.
True, true.
And the ways of God are often not accountable to man. And his ways are often so simple to confound man, as you are confounded, my good friend. Be not troubled by what concerns you not. Come again. You are welcome to this house.
The Lithuanian, hardy soul that he was, began to brood over this matter as the days went on. So certain were the townsfolk that their rabbi consulted the Lord for them at Slichos time, and so certain was the stranger that their rabbi did nothing of the sort, that his soul was in torment. The Lithuanian was ashamed of the doubt in his heart, and yet, being a man of learning, he could not allow himself to believe this thing, and so he brooded. Then the time came for his wife and himself to continue on to their destination.
So tomorrow, then, we set out.
Eh? Huh? Oh, yes, of course. I'm deep in thought.
In Galicia, there will be more work and less thought for you, my husband.
Galicia? Well, why do we travel there, tell me?
Have you forgotten? My sister has a farm.
So we shall eat stones.
What's the matter with you?
The rabbi.
Who?
Rabbi. There's a challenge. He smiles, and he's silent as a picture. Can it be true he visits heaven?
Begin your packing.
I don't leave.
Pack your things.
I don't leave. I've decided once and for all I stay. What is Galicia? What awaits me there? Work? I stay here to unravel a mystery.
What are you babbling about?
I must know. Where does the rabbi go on Sleeker's time? I must know.
How long before this madness leaves you? Tell me.
Until Sleeker's time comes round again.
A year?
What is a year when it comes to the solitude of the soul? What is a year when such things are at stake? Matter is settled. Now, good wife, bring me my tea. There's a chill in the air.
And so our good friend stays on in the village. The seasons pass. While others crowd around the rabbi in admiration, the Lithuanian remains friendly but aloof. In time, all in time, his eyes seem to say, he must doubt until he is shown otherwise. For he is no barbarian, but a learned man, an inquisitive man, a seeker of truth. And he waited for his time, and he had a plan.
And so we approach the new year, David. Lika's time will be soon here again.
Ah, yes, another year. Sometimes when I ponder the passing seasons, I ask in truth what I have done with my life.
Ask instead for a better winter than the one we had. It would be more practical.
Winter? Did you say a bad winter?
Child's play. Now in Lithuania. There you get a taste of winter to freeze a man's soul.
I do not mean to be inquisitive. But why did you leave that beautiful land of your birth?
My wife. A woman with ambition. And she has a sister with a farm in Galicia.
But Galicia is
very far from Nemirov, I know.
Tell us, why did you not leave our village?
To speak truthfully, my friends, I am leaving.
You go, but when?
When? Soon. After Sleeker's time, to be exact.
Oh.
Sleeker's time?
And do not now amuse me with the story of your pious rabbi who consults with the Almighty in heaven early Friday morning on Sleeker's time.
You still doubt our rabbi friend?
Perhaps.
He is scheming. I see by his eyes and that smile. What are you dreaming up, Lithuanian?
I do not scheme. I merely wait.
You will see. The miracle will take place before your very eyes. We are 2 days before Friday. Try to find the rabbi early Friday morning. Go, look for him wherever you want. Search the synagogue, search the houses of study. Look in his home, look under his bed. You will find him nowhere.
Nowhere on this earth, at any rate. And if he is not on earth, then he must be in heaven.
The Lithuanian waited for the day to come and smiled as he waited. The taste of his triumph lighting up his face, for he had a plan. And his wife, patient woman, eyed him suspiciously and wondered. Finally, Thursday evening came. He watched the last red glow of the sunset and waited for darkness to slip down. Then, instead of preparing for bed, as was his habit, he began to put on his coat and cap.
And where, may I ask, are you off to at this hour of night?
I'm going for a walk.
A walk at this hour? What ails you?
Tell you then, I'm not only... Well, a man has a right to stretch his legs and breathe some air without asking permission of his wife or have times changed.
I will not permit it.
You do not permit it, huh?
No.
Well, I'll tell you then, I'm not only going for a walk, I'm going for the whole night. And I shall not be back till tomorrow.
Are you mad?
Till tomorrow.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it, fool that I am. I should have guessed. 20 years married and now this...
Quiet! Stop your wailing!
Have I not been a good wife to you? Have I not humored your whims, nursed you when you were sick, worked for you all these years, and now you bring this shame upon me?
Stop your foolish nonsense!
Nonsense! Nonsense, you call it! Who is she? Now I see it all. You did not want to go to Galicia, and it was because of her!
If for just 1 minute you leash that tongue of yours, I'll speak.
Speak then, but speak well!
There is no other woman! And I tell you, in a week we leave for Galicia. You have my word.
Not a woman? Why then does a man leave his home at night?
Just this. The rabbi.
Again?
My hour of triumph is at hand. That's why we stayed on for a whole year. Tomorrow is Friday before Sleeker's time, and I, your husband, will find out just what the rabbi of Nemirov does on that morning.
And how do you propose to find out?
Tonight I sleep with the rabbi.
Sleep with the rabbi?
Well, not with him exactly. He shall sleep on the bed, I under the bed. Farewell.
The moon lit a path bright as daylight as he crept to the window of the rabbi's bedroom. And why on this special night did the moon have to act like it was a guest at a wedding? Anyone who would care to look would be able to see our friend about his nocturnal duties. And the Lithuanian himself, who scoffed at the idea of ghosts or witches, on this night felt a strange prickle around his scalp and down his back. His hands were on the window. A push, quietly, and now it is done. He listens, cautious, and hears. It is the rabbi, no mistake. So far, so good. With his hands on the sill, he hoists himself up. Listens. He slips into the room, carefully makes his way across the room, and in his haste to get under the bed, trips on a chair. He did not breathe. To this day, he swears that for 5 minutes he did not breathe. Now he stretched himself out on the hard floor, his eyes wide, staring at the mattress above him, and listened to the peaceful breathing of the rabbi. Another would have dozed and slept his time away. Not our Lithuanian. He listened and thought as the night wore on.
Snore peacefully, my heavenly friend. Lithuanian is a patient man. He can wait long. You thought to take your secret to the grave, eh? That was before you dealt with such a one as I. I shall soon find you out. Consult with the Almighty, eh? We shall soon see. Well, in truth, it's not too comfortable here. Not that I'm frightened. Of course I'm not. It's true, my knees seem to knock against the floor against my will, but then it's cold in here. A slight chill, anyway. It's only an animal. A spirit, perhaps. Perhaps I'm being warned by unearthly powers to end my scheme. Not such a great joke, after all, to be left alone with the rabbi at sleep this time before dawn. Maybe it were better to leave and forget this business. Too late. Too late.
The rabbi was awake. The Lithuanian listened to him sighing and groaning for a whole hour. Whoever has heard the groaning of the rabbi of Nemirov knows what sorrow for all Israel, what distress of mind found voice in every groan. Any soul hearing would be dissolved in grief, except the Lithuanian. He hears and lies still. Finally, the rabbi, long life to him, rises. The Lithuanian watches, perspiring, as the rabbi goes to the wardrobe and takes out a packet, which proves to be the clothes of a peasant. The rabbi begins to dress himself. First the trousers, then high boots, the peasant blouse, a wide felt hat, and finally a thick cord which he ties about his blouse.
And is this the way our rabbi clothes himself to get to heaven? Well, soon I shall know. You're ready now, rabbi? Don't look behind you now, I pray. What's this? A hatchet?
Yes, the rabbi stooped and picked a hatchet from under his mattress, at the same time almost brushing the Lithuanian's nose. He put the hatchet in his belt and left the house, humming a little tune. The Lithuanian follows. A fearful hush broods over the half-dark streets. The rabbi keeps to the side and walks in the shadow of the houses. He glides from one to the other. And the Lithuanian hears the sound of his own heartbeats mingle with the heavy footfall of the rabbi. But he follows on, and together they emerge from the town. Behind the town stands a little wood, and the rabbi, long life to him, enters.
And what, praise God, does a rabbi want in these woods? And at dawn, in peasant clothes with a hatchet in his belt. Oh, what's this? A tree? Now, why cut down a tree in this forest? What can the rabbi be up to?
The Lithuanian saw the rabbi strike blow after blow, and the little tree falls, and the rabbi splits it up into logs and the logs into splinters. Then he makes a bundle, binds it up with the cord, throws it over his shoulder, and slowly walks back into town. And the Lithuanian follows some distance behind and begins to marvel at what he has seen. It is now growing light. The world stirs.
If this is the way to heaven, then indeed it's a strange road. Yet I will follow this to the end. If he disappears into the air, I will see it.
He saw the rabbi stop before a poor, tumble-down little house on one of the back streets and tap upon the window. The rabbi enters. Our friend hurries to the window, kneels, and listens.
Wood to sell? And where would I get the money to buy wood? I am taken to bed, as you can see.
I will give you 6 groschen worth on credit.
How am I ever to repay you? There is no money.
Oh, see here. You are a poor, sick widow, and I am willing to trust you with a little bundle of wood. I believe in time you will repay me.
How?
You have a great and mighty God, and you do not trust him, not even to the amount of a miserable 6 groschen or a bundle of wood.
If you say so, you are so kind. But who is to light the stove? My son away and I weak in bed?
I will also light the stove for you.
And the Lithuanian peeped over the windowsill, and there was the rabbi laying the wood in the stove very carefully. As the stove lit up, the wood crackled cheerily.
Yes, what is it?
I have wood to sell.
Oh, we cannot buy.
I will leave it, and God be with you.
It is charity. I cannot...
It is not charity. It is wood. Your house is cold. Take it. Take it and say no more.
And the Lithuanian saw all this and realized that though the rabbi's heart may have been upon heaven, his deeds were upon earth and given unto the people. And he felt a sudden love and warmth for this quiet man. And the Lithuanian ran swiftly to his home, opened the door...
Good morning, my best clothes. Fetch my new blouse, my belt, my good cap. Make haste.
Oh, he's seen the devil. He's mad, my poor husband.
Hurry, I'll be late for the morning service.
The service?
At the synagogue. What then? Are we not good Jews? Do you not know that this is Friday before Slichus?
What of Galicia? You promised it.
Here in Nemirov, we have a rabbi. A man indeed who does wondrous things. I intend to become a disciple of this holy man, for I have seen his piety. We stay here. It is settled. And now, my clothes and a comb to trim my beard. At once!
And it came to pass that as Slichos time rolled around each year, the legend of the rabbi once again was upon the lips of the people. And there was always a young lad who, having heard the tale, nevertheless asked the question.
And where does the rabbi go at Slichos time, if he is nowhere to be found?
Where should he go, my bright lad, if not to heaven?
Surely, with the holy days approaching, our rabbi has affairs of importance to take up with the Almighty. Yes. Is that not so, my good Lithuanian friend? Would you not find the rabbi in heaven?
And the Lithuanian, the man who once dared to laugh at this question, now turned to the child and said in a hushed voice,
"Most certainly in heaven, my boy, if not higher."
Now we take pleasure in presenting on the Eternal Light, Rabbi Elliot M. Burstein of Congregation Beth Israel, San Francisco.
Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai once asked his disciples, "What is the best thing for man to acquire?" "A good eye," said one. "A good friend," said another. "A good neighbor," said a third. "Vision," suggested a fourth. And then said the saintly Reb Eliezer ben Aruch, "A good heart." Whereupon Reb Yochanan addressed the others, saying, "I prefer Eliezer's answer to yours, for in his words, yours are included. Our religion is essentially a silken cloth, into whose woof and warp are woven the threads of social idealism. It is revealed in the thunderings of a Moses. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and soul and might, and thy neighbor as thyself. In the warnings of a Micah, what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. In the gentle summations of a Hillel, what is hateful to thee, do not unto thy fellow. All else is commentary. It is found in the sayings of the ancient sages, Ohev hamokom, ohev habrios. He who loves God must love God's creatures. And Rahman and Liba, boy, above all else, God wants the heart. The Nemirova rabbi knew and believed this, and also that man is here on earth for the specific purpose of pleasing God. And how is that to be accomplished? By helping those of God's children who need help most. We are now in the midst of our 10 days of repentance, a period during which the Jewish people, like the Nemirova rabbi, lays bare his sullied soul to God and asks his forgiveness. And in three ways he tries to prove his sincerity, through penitence, prayer, and charity. It is easy, he knows, to weep, pray, and speak words that come from the heart. Words alone will not suffice. They must be garnished with tzedakah, compassion translated into action. And it is only after he shall have performed some deeds of kindness and mercy that the gates of heaven, the ears of God, will be opened to him. Josiah Holland declared, "I hold this thing to be grandly true. A noble deed is a step toward God." The Nemirova rabbi believed it to be a passport into God's presence. And was it perhaps of him that George Eliot thought when she penned her immortal lines, "So to live is heaven, to make undying music in the world. May I reach that purest heaven, be to other souls the cup of strength in some great agony, and kindle generous ardor, feed pure love. So shall I join the choir invisible, whose music is the gladness of the world."
If Not Higher was dramatized for The Eternal Light by Norman Rostin and was based on a short story by Isaac Loeb Peretz. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. Cantor Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple, Brookline, Massachusetts, was the soloist. Joe DeSantis was featured as the Lithuanian and Juano Hernandez as the rabbi. Bernard Lenro was the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Pat. The Eternal Light program will not be heard next Sunday because of the Jewish holiday of Sukkot. This program has been a public service presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and was brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the National Broadcasting Company.